Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Cash Flows. I'm your host, Cash Matthews, and we're very glad you're here. We work in the world of entrepreneurship and health and life and relationships with this philosophy called Fire, Aim, Ready. The Cashflow Show is for those people who are kind of stuck sometimes or trying to learn a little bit more about a particular industry or how to do a business or more about relationships. And we call that the pursuit of the good life. And for me, the philosophy of Fire, Aim, Ready implies something that most people lack, and that is pulling the trigger. We all have these great, you know, dreams and things we want to accomplish. But I don't know, life kind of gets in the way. And if life has gotten in the way of you actually living the life you want to live, then I think you're going to love this show. And
Kenneth,
one of my favorite stories, and I tell it a lot, is about when I got caught cheating, copying my best friend, Joe Mark Cowden, in the third grade.
Unbelievable.
And unfortunately, in the third grade, my Aunt Dorothy was also my teacher. Small town, that kind of stuff happens.
That's the real punchline right there.
Yeah, well, there's that's a funny story in and of itself. We need to get a psychologist to walk me through that.
But, there we go.
Anyway, so I'm cheating off Joe Mark in math, and she catches me, and I didn't think anything about it. I wasn't trying to hide it, and she punishes me in front of the class and asks, why are you copying off your neighbor? And I really thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. I'm like, seriously? He's smarter than me. And yeah, that didn't go very well in the third grade.
Right. No.
And, fortunately, all that stuff they tell you in the third grade, it's a lie.
Gotcha. Like,
this will follow you around all your life.
Right.
Yeah, it hasn't followed me around.
I was told a lot of lies in school, too.
Yeah, I think you just tell the story and it follows you.
So. Well, maybe that. Actually, it has followed me. I think I just put that out there to all 8 people listening. But, you know, the other stuff, like I struggled in college. I wouldn't take calculus.
Yeah.
And I started a financial business while I was in, 42 years ago, while I was in college. 42 years in, not one person has ever asked me a calculus question.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
So to my advisors from a certain university,
from that one,
I'm right.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, they still got a university. I'm here in a 3x5 closet with the two of you.
Yeah.
So
it's a good thing.
We're
good company.
Yeah, you are. Well, Kenneth, let's introduce you officially. My esteemed colleague, Mr. Kenneth Bockham, the executive producer extraordinaire of the Cashflow Show. Thank you. How are things, sir?
Things are really good. Thank you. Happy to be here and happy to enjoy these laughs over the lies that we were told in the school just a little bit. The big one for me was you'll never have access to a calculator when you need it. You have to learn how to do all these things by hand. And I was like, really? Like,
yeah.
What, 2 years later, every kid has a cell phone in their pocket?
Yeah, and you got one on your watch, and you can implant one in your eye and close your eye. And
yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing that's not a lie is how well networking seems to be working for us. And, of course, we're sponsored by and hosted on the Tulsa Bong, the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group.
Right.
And I feel like the other day we talked about networking a little bit, but maybe there's a little bit more you wanted to share on that topic. Did I read the room right there?
You read the room exactly right. And we always like to talk about networking. And in fact, we're all here because of a networking endeavor called the Tulsa Bong Business Owners Networking Group. And we all are a product of networking. Like the networking that we actually did has produced a moment where we're all coming together in a room like this just to talk about life and business. Right. And that's why this is so fun. But, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, my wife and I moved to this area. Didn't know anybody, that was in the business world particularly. And today we have 5,800 names, phone numbers, and addresses in our cell phone.
That's wild.
Yeah, and that all came as a byproduct of networking.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, networking is one of the most simple but misunderstood things in the world. And, you know, Kenneth, you go to the average networking group or meeting, and I don't know, there's 10 or 20 or 30 people in a room, and there's an oddity about it that most people don't get through, and that oddity is this. So you have 30 entrepreneurs in a room, which means you have 30 people that are there to sell something.
Right, right.
But you don't have 30 people in the room that are there to buy something. So you have 30 people that want to sell something, 30 people that don't want to buy anything. And yeah. there is the rub in networking, is how do you cross that barrier, you know, from being a salesperson mm-hmm. to being somebody who buys? How do you cross the networking barrier?
I love this question.
And actually make something out of it.
Yeah.
And so here's why the Bong has been successful. Just, I guess yesterday we were talking, our little group that started with three people, crossed over 5,800 vetted members.
Right.
And 1,000 daily visitors. I mean, it has exploded mm-hmm. because we answered that question.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is this: quit trying to sell stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to give people a chance to get to know you. And the new members of our group, we love them. And we can tell who a new member is because mm-hmm. they come onto our Facebook page, Tulsa Bong. Tulsa, it's B-O-N-G with periods yeah. in yeah. between. They come onto the page and they'll make a really long post.
Yeah, I see that
and,
all the time.
And then everybody's like, oh, yeah, cool story, bro.
That's right.
That is a cute advertisement
yeah,
you've done there.
Yeah.
Then I'll message them and go, hey, you know, not criticizing you, but you're killing your business with posts like that because they literally tell their whole story. It's a, you know, it's a chapter book.
Yes.
And
fired all the ammo they got in one shot.
Yeah. And like, hey, cool story. Well, hey, thank you. Really cool presentation. I now don't have to have a one-on-one with you. I know the entire story.
Yeah.
And my answer is no. Because I buy from people that I know, that I like, that I mm-hmm. trust. Our way, your way, Kenneth, your way, mm-hmm. our way is yes. very different. It's a little slower. It may take you 3 years to build that six-figure income.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the right person at the right time and take the right action.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just takes a little while.
It does. So
the way we endorse is slower. Man, it's healthier.
Yes, it
and
is.
You don't have to go into a room full of people with your shield up and go, please don't sell me your thing.
Yeah.
And we call that commission breath.
Yes. Yeah.
And so networking is real simple.
It is
so simple. Get to know people. Don't try to sell them. Don't be in a hurry. And I tell this story. One of my best referring partners in my mm-hmm. entire 42-year career began about 34 years ago in Austin. We had just moved there also. Mm-hmm. Didn't know one person. Met a guy on the golf course. I've known him now 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's never bought one thing from me, not one. But his referrals
are amazing.
They are amazing. I don't want to say the number because you wouldn't believe me anyway.
Yes.
But it is gigantor.
Yeah.
And what you're looking for is networking. Number one is somebody to be friends with. Had the yesterday is the best day ever for me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
A member of the Bong, mm-hmm. we were talking, and she's going to be on the show. And she said, you know, this is just going to be me and my best friend having a conversation.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know Kenneth? But she was referring to me.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that as a guy.
It is a beautiful thing.
Didn't know anybody.
She probably didn't know I was going to be here.
Yeah, well, she said, she said, like, well, where's Kenneth fit? She's like, he's number 17 on my friend list.
Oh, okay.
And like, number 16's not been showing up. So I think
you're moving
up in the polls.
You may be moving up.
I think, do you have to get under 10 to actually be on speed dial? Or how does that work nowadays? The technology keeps changing.
Well, with technology, everybody's on speed dial.
Well, I guess that's true.
You know, call that annoying sales guy from the thing.
You better be careful. It may dial on you right now.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, networking is simply getting to know one another without a sales intent. If your intent in coming to our events or meeting me or doing a one-on-one with any of us, if your intent, and you know your intent, man, if you need to make that sale to pay that mortgage, I am rooting for you. I hope you find something where that works. But networking, man, it is gentle.
Mm-hmm.
It is about getting to know one another. As I look around this community, 5,800 members that are all collaborating with each other. They're having dinner with each other. They're going on trips with each other. You know, the 12 of us, you included, we're going to Broken Bow in a couple weeks to just go stay in a beautiful cabin, all 12 of us. We ain't going to be there doing presentations. I'm leaving my flip chart at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll leave mine at home too then.
Yeah. There's not going to be no selling. Anyway, that's the essence of networking.
Yeah.
Be nice to each other.
That's super cool. I love it.
Kyle Sullivan, the Unleash the Champ guy.
Oh, remember him? Yeah.
Our very first podcast.
I remember that.
He says, meet people, make friends, and the money will follow.
Yes.
Absolutely true.
My visual piece of that is it takes about 3 years. But I don't know if you know what today is. Today, Kenneth, is the 3-year anniversary of exactly 3 years ago.
Oh.
So my question then is to those listening, what have you done in the last 3 years that's paying dividends today? And I'm telling you, if you're not networking, start today. In 3 years, it's a game changer. That makes
sense,
right?
It's the fruit of your labor.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's good.
Well, we're going to move on. We actually have a guest in the studio.
We do.
I just looked over and there is a guest.
Oh, there she is.
And we are excited to have Arquesha Franklin.
Thank you.
Your grandmother would call it Arquesha?
Oh, it's my aunt.
Your aunt.
She would definitely correct everyone, which is fine. I mean, but I think it's easier just to say Arquesha.
Okay. Arquesha, we are glad you're here today. Welcome to Cash Flows.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
You know, and first I want to say we appreciate the time. Mm-hmm. Time is the one thing you can't get back.
I agree.
And as, you know, as parents and friends and, you know, all the things we do, we have a deep respect for your time. So thank you for sharing your time with
us
today.
Thank you. And, I appreciate that.
We love to get to meet you. And we want to find out about your career and what's going on in your life and your family and your hobbies. And today's just a conversation with three people in a refrigerator box.
Yes, I love that. And, you know, you put a big smile on my face when you talked about networking because I'm such like a huge topic for me when it comes to being intentional.
Right.
And, you know, when you walk into a room, when I know I'm going somewhere, the first thing I do is I tell myself I want to meet five people.
Okay.
I want to walk out with five appointments. And then I just want to then reach out to the people I know and just say hi to them because they know me and I can see them anytime, right? So I go in with that intention and I come out with at least 5 to 6 appointments. Right. And I love that because I just force myself. Well, I don't have a hard time doing that. But with my personality, I get to enjoy meeting people. So it helps me set that tone for myself before I walk in.
So we met at the Bong Networking Group, right?
Right, yes.
What's your experience been like in that? I know you've been to some of the events.
It's been wonderful. This will be my second year.
Okay.
I know I sometimes don't get to go to every event because things come up in life. But when I do go, every time I meet someone new or I get to see people that I know or I get to retouch those people because it's good to retouch the ones that we've had our one-on-ones with, even if we don't be able to refer people or do business together. It's always good to get a cup of coffee and just kind of
enjoy. Get a cup of coffee, have a donut. Last week we had sausage rolls.
Oh, yes.
And those were all kinds of good.
I'm a little jealous I didn't get those sausage rolls.
Man, were you there last week?
I was visiting my youngest one, so.
We have a new sponsor, Archwell Health and Andrea Timmons.
Oh, yes.
And that's somebody we met at the Bong, and all of a sudden they're pitching in and helping out, and they brought like 4 boxes of donuts, and one had sausage rolls.
Yeah.
And so we may have confiscated that for quality control.
Oh, my God.
That's right. That's
man,
right.
I'm not
they have
lie.
To be tested. We have to know.
I will serve Kenneth, no fries before their
I'm
time.
I'm pretty sure you tested, right?
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Kenneth, you're a giver like that.
That's right. Yeah, I'd take one for the team. If there was a problem, I would know it, you know?
All right. Well, we're here with Arquesha Franklin. And you can also find her on LinkedIn or on the Tulsa Bong page on Facebook if you'd like to make a connection with her. And so we want to learn a little bit about you. We always like to start with, like, you know, tell us about your family dynamic, kids, cousins, dogs, and then we're going to move in. The business stuff is only kind of interesting, but we want to know who you are. So
I am a native Tulsan, born and raised here, love the city, love the Tulsa metro area, and I come from a family of 6 siblings. And so with that, for my mom and dad, as of today, when we all get together, there's probably close to 40 of us.
Wow.
And so we kind of have our own party and no one knows it, right? And with that, all my siblings are here except for one. And so my nieces and nephews. And then I am a mother, I'm a wife, and I'm a Gigi. And
what's
so
a Gigi?
I'm a grandmother. Yeah.
I knew that.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't know whose skincare you use, but I'm going to subscribe to it.
I'm just going to give it to God and say thank you for allowing me to age wisely.
Okay, I was going to ask if you're out of college. It stinks being awkward, but we do it so well. All right, I'm sorry. We have
no,
a Gigi
you're okay.
in there.
Okay, so I have a 29-year-old, a daughter in love, and I have a 25-year-old and a grandson. That's 2.5. That'll be 3 in March.
That's got to be awesome.
It is. It's the best time of my life. Being an empty nester, being able to be co-piloting as a parent with our children, and they still like us.
Right.
And that's the goal, right? You want your kids to like you after adulthood.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have a 15-year-old and a 24-year-old. And she still likes us.
That's good.
And we still hang out.
I think it's great.
You know?
And when they say, come, like, hey, let's do New Year's together, you're kind of like, really?
Yes.
Is it really me that you're asking to do this with?
Yeah.
But I don't hesitate to take that time. And so as a wife, I've been married. I'll be married for 30 years in June.
Wow.
Awesome. To my husband. And we've definitely grown together and enjoyed this season of our life. And that's pretty much what I am all day.
You know, we could do an entire podcast on staying married 30 years. Like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know. I think we need some award for that in society. Like, okay, how'd you do it? And I think that's what we ought to be teaching in schools. Like, hey, here's our Quisha Franklin. She's been married 30 years. Here's the mic. And I'm impressed by that. Well, congratulations. Now, you're one of seven or one of six?
I'm one of six.
Okay, one of six. My wife's one of seven, and she's the youngest. Where do you fit into that mix?
I am the oldest girl, so I'm the second oldest.
Okay.
Yes, so I am, yeah. But then, you know, when we all get together, it's funny how people be like, oh, or, you know, they'll ask my siblings, are you the older one? Is she the older? You know, we kind of argue back and forth. I was like, right. Yeah, they're the oldest. But then they're like, no, you know you're not the oldest. So,
right.
Yeah.
I love seeing the large family dynamic. I'm one of three, and my brother moved off early, and my sister moved off early, and so it's, you know, but there's nothing better than family.
Oh, absolutely.
There's literally, you know, those are the things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about business in a minute, and business is important also, but I don't know what the right verbiage is. Family is importanter.
Yes.
Is that a word?
Yes. Yeah. We'll allow it.
Well, you may be created a little bit, but it is. It's very much important. And in my life, our family is, we consider ourselves a team. We are
right.
each other's biggest cheerleaders because
that's awesome.
We are always cheering each other on.
Right.
So everyone has a direction and we have to go, but it's very important that we continue to understand that we have to give each other grace and love and respect, but then also understand what our journey looks like.
Right.
And I think that's kind of been our way of being able to navigate through this life is because we continue to communicate and talk about what we're growing in and what we're changing and how we're developing and how God has a path for us. So,
right.
Which God is very important in our life because
right.
that's something that's the foundation of it all. And community. Community is very important. I believe that God places a lot of people in our life. We cross those paths for a reason. And it may just be for a season or a chapter.
Right.
But, you know, in my seasons, I've met so many people over the years, and I can literally go back and think about why they made an impact in my life.
Right.
So family is important.
Family,
community.
Family is important. Community is important. So I'm getting a visual in my brain. You know, when we were younger, we did have good Christmases because my dad was one of five, mm-hmm. and we had cousins, and his mother was still alive at that point, and Christmas was always joyful for us. But my favorite was Thanksgiving. Do you guys have a favorite one of those holidays?
We
where...
try to do both together.
Oh,
so
man.
It's we kind of have this tradition where we have different families. Like we call them the Dallas crew, the Detroit crew, the Tulsa crew. So we either A, go to Dallas, or we come to, or the Dallas crew comes to Tulsa, or we, and then we try to host everyone. So this past Thanksgiving, I think we had an average of about 46 of us.
Oh, my
one
goodness.
Household.
In your house?
Not in my house.
Oh,
my
no, oh.
son actually hosted
okay.
this time. My son and my daughter-in-law did. So
oh my gosh.
We just make a creative way of doing things.
I bet that was esteeming for you, like your baby hosting the whole family.
Yeah, it's just fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Golly.
Passing the baton.
Well, we talk about this show being about the good life, but you're actually living it.
I guess you could say that.
And that's why we like to have people like you on the show that that are actually living the good life. Well, congratulations for that side. Are you a pet person?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Well, We had a pet. His name was Will Franklin, and he was a Cavalier, King Charles Spaniel. Yeah. He spent 16 years in our life. We had him since he was 8 weeks old, and we just put him down in September. October?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so he would have been 17 years old in November. But he had a good life, he grew up with our kids, and it was fun, and my grandbaby got to know him, and yell his name, and he couldn't hear, so it was great, yeah.
Your dog couldn't hear?
He could not hear. He was old.
We just lost ours as well, and his name was Chester, and he only made it to, like, 12 and a half, and he couldn't hear, and he, best dog ever.
Yes.
And, definitely one of our family members.
But it's funny how they can't hear, but for some reason they know when the food hits the bowl, right?
Oh, that's right. And this is probably not what
sixth sense or something.
I know, right?
This is not on topic at all, but, like, I knew he couldn't hear. But I knew he could feel, and so I would get put his head right up here, and I would hum, and I would make these humming sounds that I know he could feel, and like I communicated with him.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna weep. So you carry on.
You can't
here, okay?
weep because I'm trying not to. So you gotta stop.
Oh man.
So,
okay.
So
we can weep on this show. I am inside.
But I didn't bring anything to fix my makeup or all that, so we can't do that. But no, great. He was a great part of our life, and we miss him dearly.
Yes,
but his quality of life wasn't there anymore. And as we all get older, quality of life is very important.
Yeah,
but for Cavalier, he outkicked his coverage. He did.
Yeah,
I'm impressed. Yeah, because they usually don't make it that long.
Yeah, they said 12, 13 is kind of
for them. Yeah,
and,
so
I'm ready to take round.
He
two.
Lived a good life.
Yeah. Well, I made a mistake afterwards and went and got a new dog. And my wife was not ready.
Oh.
But I was ready. I desperately needed a dog.
The companionship.
I did. And they lied to me when I got him.
Uh-oh.
He's a lab. Ooh. And I could have sworn they said he was a teacup lab.
No.
Ooh. Yeah. And he only weighed 10 pounds. I thought he was 8 or 9 months old. Well, he weighed 10 pounds and he was whatever weeks old. Now he weighs 80 pounds. And I told my wife, I'm like, look, I got us a teacup lab.
That is very not little. A teacup lab.
Yeah.
That's like a coffee cup lab.
That
like
is a coffee cup lab.
Turns out teacup labs don't exist.
Ooh.
Okay, well, I guess.
There's that.
I was going to get a refund, but,
I think you just made it up in your head that you was going to have a teacup lab. You didn't listen to what they actually told you, how big the dog was going
to sure.
get.
I'm not sure. That sounds accusatory. Well, let's talk a little bit about business. I mean, you have a great life. Business.
God, it's been good.
I think business always, I don't know. I think if business is who you are, you've missed who you are. And, business is what I do. I mean, this is part of our business is doing podcasts, but, it's really more about the relationships. But if business is all you're about, then, I think you've missed something.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I'm absolutely confident that is not you. And that is not us either. I think that, we talk in here about entrepreneurship and why if you don't have balance in your life, the right kind of balance. Now, there are moments when we're all out of balance. I'm all for that.
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, I'm a beast. This is my year. Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, if you don't want to be who's who in business, but who's he at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you're on the right track.
I do. I believe that wholeheartedly. I always ask myself, I've learn what my why is. And some people don't know their why.
Is that something you want to share?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
so,
let's talk about your why.
I firmly believe, I know my why is nurturing. So right. I enjoy taking care of people. And I did 20 years of it in the banking industry and then transitioning over into what I'm doing now currently, which is helping business owners because I did on the deposit side. I helped them open their business checking account. And I was like, yay, you're good. And they would look at me and say, Arquisha, what do I do next? Well, I didn't have a solution for them.
Right.
So when I had the ability to transition out of the banking world and go into sales, which I'd never done before, but then to be able to provide products and services for them that were the biggest pains of their life,
right.
which were the questions were asked, how do I do my payroll? Who's going to be my accountant?
Right.
How do I take payments? Where I make my deposits? Who's going to help me run my office?
Right.
So all those things. So I know that I love nurturing. And with that, I just enjoy meeting people and gathering like who they are and then find out how can I help them. Sometimes I may not be able to help them, but how can I help them grow their business
right.
or spread who they are or introduce them to someone new.
Right.
Because I enjoy connection.
Yeah.
I love connecting.
Yeah.
I think connecting is very important. I love vetting people. I like having people in my back pocket for business owners.
Sure.
Or someone I don't, that maybe isn't a business owner, but just needs something. Hey, I know XYZ. So I think connecting people is the most important piece because you're remembered that way.
Yeah.
People don't remember you just because you had coffee with them.
Right.
It's always something a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, when you've gone the distance with them or for mm-hmm. them. Or, in fact, that concept of, you know, I've got somebody in my back pocket, we call it, I got a guy.
I got a guy.
I got a guy.
Someone.
I got someone for
yes.
you.
Yes, yes.
If you're worried about me, you know, saying guy, I'm sorry, let me refresh. I got a dude.
I just say in my back pocket. I'm pretty sure someone would say something about that too, but
yeah.
It's okay because I can pull them out. And say, hey, I got someone.
Yeah. And you know, that's beautiful. And I think that's one of the, when we approach networking, it is not about how can you grow my business? It's about how can I grow yours?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working on this concept of a mastermind group, you know, out of the 5,800, maybe there's 5 or 10 or 15 of us that really want to be together with this one. And I had that in Austin, Texas, where we had a realtor and a mortgage guy and a handyman and a carpet guy and a automobile repair guy mm-hmm. and a wallpaper guy of all things. You know, we had a group, mm-hmm. a painter, a handyman, like, but we all met regularly outside of the bong to go, hey, how can I help you grow your business?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the question. And you know, I think most people are on the other side of networking. Hey, how can this big room of bongers help me grow my business? And I absolutely think you're on the right side of that
equation. Thank you.
I think that'll serve you all the days of your business life. So talk to us about the industry that you've been in. You were in banking for 20 years.
Almost 20 years, yes.
Yeah.
I started as a teller and moved all the way up to help start a bank and ran a branch, was a leader to 5 awesome women and guys,
wow.
got to guide them and direct them and teach them and love leadership. And when we became empty nesters, I wanted to be able to have a little bit more time, got out of the banking industry. It took me 2 years. I kind of spiraled down some things to figure out what
right.
I want to do next.
Right.
Was fortunate enough to land a job with as a W-2 commission to provide payroll and credit card processing solutions.
And that's for the small entrepreneur, beginning
small business owner,
even
seasoned.
Established.
Yes, yeah,
established business mm-hmm. owners have to have their game tight on
they
that.
They do.
You know, we say you got to learn, you got to be good at what you do, but step two of business is you got to be good at running your business. And you really fulfill what we call step two, running the business.
Yes.
And if you're not paying attention to credit card processing, payroll processing, all the things that you became great at, man, that can be a hole in your business. It can be a hole in your revenue
right.
bucket. And but with that, you know what we need to do real quick? I just noticed
yeah.
my flash card just went off.
Uh-oh.
We need to do a studio advertisement for those people
yeah.
who keep us in business.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's take
a quick minute from our advertisers.
All right. So today we're going to talk about the great place that we're at today, Elevate Coworking. Elevate Coworking is where local business owners connect, collaborate, and grow. We offer a community of tools and resources to fuel your passion and your productivity. Elevate your future with us, where success is not just achieved, but celebrated together.
Man, I love being in a coworking space. You know,
yeah.
we're all, and it's so neat, and it's really, you know, we're networkers.
Right.
And my office complex where I chose to live and run my business from is a networking place. Like, we all get together and have lunch and get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not pitching each other, hey, buy my stuff. No, you buy my stuff. It's just a very organic, genuine collaborative of people. And,
yeah.
you know, over time, those client relationships may or may not form. But in my brain, they will
mm-hmm.
over. You know, I told the owner, like, I'm in. She's like, what do you want, a 1-year lease? I'm like, 10. I'm in. What's the biggest lease you'll let me sign? I'm here. I'm going to stay here. I think I know what my business is going to look like. And she wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah. She wouldn't.
No, she'd only let
she's
me
probably
sign.
Like, I don't even know if I'm going to be around for 10 years.
Well,
right?
I'm like, well, then I'll take it over. I love this place.
Yeah.
And we have this beautiful podcast room because
yes.
of that. So, yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, thank you for featuring Elevate. Absolutely one of our yes. favorite sponsors. We are with Arquisha Franklin, and we're talking mostly about life and networking, and we get lost in that sometimes, Kenneth, because it's such a great topic.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about her professional career, first in banking And then, I guess you call it the fintech.
It's called fintech world. So the processing, credit cards, payroll kind of slides in there a little bit, but it's, you know, everyone has to be able to take payments.
Absolutely.
Or you got to be able to pay for something.
Right.
We all have to have a card. We have to have a check card. Everyone has to have a what's called an ISO. They have to have someone that's behind the scene running those transactions.
What's an ISO?
That is a company, a credit card company that can run your transactions for you.
You got to have an ISO, Kenna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the jargon.
Yeah.
Some bankers do that. A lot of people do that. We play jargon. Yeah. So
yeah. I like the jargon. I thought she said eyesore. You got to be an eyesore. Like I am.
Well, I
I'm good on that.
Well, I've seen ISO, like, it means so many different things. And as a photographer, like, it's a thing about light. It's like, well, that's not going to help me get paid. So,
yeah. Oh, no. No, that won't. That won't. That won't.
So,
yes.
Inside this Bong group that you've helped create, there are this morning approaching 5,900 members, 1,000 visitors today. Lots of those people are brand new startups. I don't know the percentage, but let's say there's 500 of them that sell something.
Right.
We had one join yesterday. They sell some kind of statuette sort of things.
Right.
And I always try to, I want to make friends with those people, because the number one question is, I sell seashells by the seashore. But then the question they ask on our group is, what do I do next? What's the next thing I need to do?
Right.
And in my world, the next thing you need to do is be able to get paid. Like, you can set up the LLC and the insurance and the attorney relationship and your CPA, but I think you have to set up a payment mechanism pretty quick.
Absolutely.
A lot of these organizations are not funded very well. They don't have lots of capital. A payment system is where you get your beginning capital sometimes.
Absolutely.
You may be living on cash flow, and if so, talk about how payments, they're vital.
It's very interesting, because I do a little mentoring. I do some executive coaching. So with my banking side, I bring a lot of the full piece to the puzzle.
Right.
Because I've figured out in the 4 years I've been doing this and building this relationship and partnerships with people, that there are so many little gaps that business owners are missing.
Right.
From when the time I think about when they ask me, what do I do next? But I would see them fail. And in the banking side, I would see them fail within 5 years because they didn't have direction.
Right.
Or they were trying to be the bookkeeper. They were trying to be the CPA. They were trying to be the front office person.
Right.
And the biggest thing they wanted to do was just run this business.
Right, do the thing.
This talent that they have, that they've been blessed with. But they didn't think about all the other little pieces that come with it.
Right.
So I try to bring all those to the table. So when I have what's called a FTA, which is a first-time appointment, or...
FTA.
First-time appointment.
Write it down. They need an ISO?
Yeah. So a FTA, or a first-time appointment, or we just get coffee, or I just learn about who you are, or I just try to do discovering and get them to talk about their business.
Right.
And in that, I ask the questions. Do you have a CPA? Do you have payroll? Do you have credit card processing? Do you have a checking account? Do you have an EIN?
Very basic, right?
Do you have a certificate of some type of business title?
Right.
Do you have everything filed for, if you do have employees, 1099 or W-2?
Right.
Do you have everything filed correctly with the state? Because that's very important. A lot of people are like, I don't really need to do that with 1099. Well, if you paid them over $600, yes, you need to take care of that business.
Right, because you're going to have to account for it.
And you need to be able, your CPA is going to ask you all those questions.
Right.
And do you have, workers' comp? Do you have all these things? And then their brain is just like, I don't even know what to, okay, that's why I'm here. Because if you don't, I'm going to connect you with those who can help you. I'm going to give you two prospects that you can go and interview and see if they are a good fit for you.
Right.
I've already vetted them. So I already know they're going to take care of you, because my job is to make sure that the people I align you with are the ones that are going to take care of you.
And that's the essence of the mastermind group, is to make sure that each person has vetted their market properly.
I probably have my own mastermind group, and I just don't even think
way. You don't think of it that way.
I don't think of it that way. I think of how can I bring value to you, to the business owner, the new business owner, the new entrepreneur. How can I educate them? How can I help them succeed? And then hear their story later, which puts a smile on my face, because I love hearing business owners' stories.
Yeah,
that's their baby. That's their story. They're going to tell you their pains, their whatever. So with that, the first thing, because I come across a lot of it, is that no one has a checking account.
Right.
What are you using? My personal. Oh.
Yeah, there's a problem.
So I have all these red flags that I throw up. I'm like, well, that's a red flag. Let's get that in order first, because in order for you to even take payments correctly, you have to have a business account that it goes through. So
business account with your EIN.
Yes, with your EIN, your LLC, everything that's important. And you need to find a good bank.
Right.
So let's talk about that. I mean, we need to say community banks. Our bigger boys don't care about our small business owners.
No, they do not.
I've learned that. And, you know, and okay, do you have two relationships? You need to have a credit union and a bank relationship. I work both sides.
Okay.
I think both of them are great for business owners or even personal life.
Right.
So just lining them up and helping them understand, like, the importance of building that relationship and connection with their bank so then they can establish and then hopefully get some kind of lending or SBA loan.
Right.
Or something that they need to help them grow.
Yeah, and it's great that you is there a size of entrepreneur that you can't help, or are you really just talking to everybody on the
I mostly get, it's crazy, I always get referrals for your first startups or summer season. They maybe have 10, 20 employees. They may be when it comes to actually a lot of them that are seasoned, like 50 plus, most of them just need maybe to tweak how they're spending or the fees they're paying for credit card processing.
Right.
Or maybe putting them on the right seat on the bus when it comes to payroll, because payroll is a big pain. A lot of business owners don't, they'll sign up with the company just because somebody down the street told them to sign up with them.
Right.
But the customer service probably isn't there. They don't have anyone they can
talk to.
It's huge. Yeah. And they don't really understand. They know they have to pay their people, but how much are they paying to pay their people?
Right.
And what value are they bringing to them as the business owner? So that's the biggest piece when it comes to small to medium size to large.
Yeah, nobody, I run payroll. I've been running my business for a long time, and there's nothing worse than having a large company that I currently do business with and for them to say something, you know, I want service. I'm busy. I know we're not a, you know, $100 million company. You know, however, whatever size we are, we need help. And I don't need some large company going, you know, your account really doesn't justify the amount of work that we're putting into it.
And sometimes they will tell you that.
Yeah, I may have heard that recently.
Yeah, it hurts. So I partner with a lot of bankers because I love the banking industry. And I think it's important to have a connection with the commercial lending side.
Right.
People who are in the deposit side who open the accounts, because majority of the time the small business owner is going to try to go to the bank and get a loan.
Right.
It's really hard for them to be able to do that. They have no assets.
Right.
They have nothing to really justify that the bank wants to spend money on them.
Right.
So I love that there's opportunities where the banker will send them my way, and then I can send them to what we have, a lending program where we can kind of help them, guide them, and direct them, and educate them on what it looks like to be able to hit the next step so you can show that you have what you need.
Got it. What's that industry like today? Because I don't follow it. Are there innovations happening in the fintech industry that are going to benefit the small entrepreneur?
Yes. There are so many. I didn't realize how many solutions with credit card processing.
Really?
So, I mean, when we think about this world of processing, it's kind of shifted from way it looked before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And before, everyone, especially us Oklahomans, we process, most business owners, you know, they just pay their credit card fees because it's like a hospitality deal. Like, you know, we love our customers, we'll take care of that. COVID brought on a different type of outlook of what credit card processing looks like now. Your east and west and north, all up north, everyone has now passed the cost on to their customers.
Right.
We're kind of like the last ones. We're trickling. It's trickling down to the Midwest because we got out early. So April, we were down. May, we were out.
Right.
Everyone else was still trapped inside, and our business owners still got back up, and even they can do 50%, they still tried to do what they need to do.
You're doing fine, Oklahoma.
Yep.
That's right.
Yes. So the new trend is cash discounting or passing the cost on to your customer.
Right.
And It's been kind of, I mean, it's a lot of educating in our area because, you know, they're like, well, I've always done it this way. And what does that look like? That means I'm going to lose a customer. Well, a lot of people kind of get it. I mean, when I travel to California or I go north or east, I mean, west, they're doing it.
Right.
They're doing it. And I understand why. I do know that some people do a little price gouging where they are overcharging percentage.
Right.
So we try to go in and educate. Like, every industry, every business has its own type of MCC code, which describes what they are. Based off that is kind of where they're going to put you when it comes to your percentage. If that's 2%, what you charge your customer. If that's 2.75, is that 3%, where it's set. So you're not walking into a business, which I'm pretty sure you guys have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
When you go in, they're like, you got to pay 5% or 4%.
Right.
You're like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And, you know, how did you justify that? Or they're like demanding you pay cash because they don't want to pay the fees. But then it's really not set up correctly. So in our industry, I love how we've gotten ahead of it, where the terminals or your point of sale systems, or when you go to check out, it says, hey, you have the ability to pay cash or card. And if you pay card, this is what it looks like.
This is the price.
If you pay cash, this is what it looks like, which would be the normal price. So it gives the customer the ability and the opportunity to make that decision and not feel like they're pressured.
Right.
And then for businesses that really don't have the terminals that look like that, they educate them up front. Hey, when you go to pay, we have the ability to pay by card or check or cash. And if you pay by card, we have a sign that states, you know, this is what it looks like. So educating before and not after.
Got it. So who came up with this idea of tipping to get a donut?
I think
this is a new thing everywhere I go.
I think we've taken tipping to another level.
Right.
And I kind of experienced that when I went to Mexico like a year ago. When we would go all the time, you really didn't have to tip people.
Everybody, everywhere.
You tip because you felt like you got great customer service, right? Because no one tips me. I mean, I'm taking calls at midday and whatever, you know, at night after I'm done with work. So I think if we've taken it to another level, so I'm very cautious of that. I'm just like, I don't really need to tip you. I mean, the register did all the work.
Yeah.
You barely said hi to me.
Right.
And I don't really think I need to.
Are you confused by the time we're in?
It's forced tips. I call it forced tips.
Yeah, okay. And I don't mind doing it.
I don't mind tipping either.
I want to share my toys, but like when they go, hey, we're going to turn the terminal around.
I know. It's almost like a forced deal.
Does the employer, does the business pay a fee on the tipped amount?
Actually, for those who are employed, who gets the tips, have to pay taxes on their
tips. Well, I know, but do they pay like a service fee to the card vendor?
No.
On the tipped amount?
No, they don't.
Well, I'm going to tell them to start just, hey, figure out the bill. I'll tip you that amount. And then that way they save 3%.
But it is part of the processing. So you're right. They do. If they if they're not passing the call zone, yes, they do have to pay for that amount.
Okay. So something to think about.
It is. But I think because everyone has the ability to do it, I ask the customer when I take them the terminal, like, do you want people to tip? If it's a restaurant, that's like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go to places that really don't need tips and they're asking for a tip. And I just think we've kind of got,
I think that's the downside.
We're tipped out.
I am. Ooh, the scales have tipped.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we are with Arquesha Franklin and we're talking about the fintech industry. More importantly, we're talking about a remarkable person who's done what she's done for, been in the banking industry 20 years, has a wonderful, large family and loves puppies. So you're like the prototype excellent person. We're going to wrap up here in a minute, but I want to find out what, you know, like, do you have a hobby, a favorite thing you like to do outside of work?
I do. I love working out. That's probably one of my biggest drugs. And traveling.
Yes.
Traveling. I love knowing there's more than just Oklahoma.
Oh, man. Yeah. God built a beautiful world.
Yes, he has. And I think everyone should explore that. I think a lot of people get stuck in this bubble they're in, and they don't get to see there's more to life, or people that look different or work different or speak differently or eat different foods than we do, or just the culture in general. And I think that's such a beautiful rainbow. My life has always been filled with a rainbow of love of individuals and people in my life. So I just love exploring that outside of Oklahoma.
It is a beautiful thing. And, you know, you can't really appreciate where you are until you go where they are,
right,
and see how the rest of the world does it. And, you know, we call it world schooling for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And we world schooled our children. We took them places that were not doing so great.
Yes, and we did the same thing. We traveled and took our boys to places to let them see there's more than Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, we are with Arquesha Franklin, and we're going to get a business nugget from her here in a second. And you can find her on LinkedIn, and you can find her on the Facebook page for the Tulsa Bong, where she is a prominent member and been helpful in developing this local community. Arquesha, what say you about a business tip for entrepreneurs?
Business tip. Okay.
This is the golden nugget.
The golden nugget for me is to always surround yourself with professionals that are going to help you elevate your business.
I love it. You know, and I think who you hang out with ultimately may have an influence on how your business turns out or the timing of your business.
Absolutely.
You know, because if you're hanging out with a bunch of slackers, you know, show me four people wasting their time. And if you're hanging out, you're number five.
Right.
And well, that is a great tip. And thank you for that. Kenneth, you ready to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for being here at Cash Flows today. We're going to wrap it up and first say thank you to Arquesha Franklin for being our guest today. Time is valuable and you should invest it, not just spend it. And to our sponsors and friends who listen, thank you all so very much. And for today, let's be nice to each other. Let's make good decisions for ourselves and for our families. And one other thing for today, wouldn't it be great if we could forgive just one person who absolutely does not deserve it? Because we've all been covered in grace, and isn't that a good message for today? Because forgiveness is not about that other person, friends. It is about you and cutting those ties that bind you and getting on with life. So, Kenneth, thank you for being here today and all your work. And for each of you that joined us, please know this show is for you. And we're glad you're here. Thanks for being part of Cash Flows.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.